Welcome to episode 3 of the Curio podcast, in which we talk about the state of the world. We are joined today by our clever chief engineer, Quinn.
Get him!
Who is he? Ziggy knows. The dogs and the cats, they've got their weird sixth senses too.
Somebody is there.
They know what's going on.
Oh, it's our chief engineer, Quinn.
Quinn's back.
We're winding down our conversation. Would you like to join us?
Oh.
Hi, Quinn. Do you have a word for us this week?
Oh, cool kid word of the day?
Yeah. Cool kid word of the day.
That's with two K's, by the way. Cool kid.
Oh. Cool kid. Cool kids club. Three K's.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ouch. Come on.
Cool kid word of the day. I'm not cool. I just realized. I don't know.
You have zero?
I don't have anything ready. Okay.
What do you think about the idea of connection? Do you have any, like...
That's such a broad...
Yeah, I mean...
The idea of connection. I have no... opinion, like... That's not, like, charge. You know what I mean? That's like,
well, we were charged earlier. We've calmed down, I think.
Yeah,
we were very charged earlier.
Were you opposing?
No. We had started out wanting this week's topic to be about connection, and we had sort of like an outline of things that we wanted to talk about, and that was completely scrapped because of what's happening on the southern border. And so we were talking about basically the opposite of connection, which is separation, and what it must be doing to our society as a whole. B and A, those children and their mothers too.
That was the main topic for today.
Yeah, just being angry about the clusterfuck, dumpster fire, Cheeto-induced
yikes
chaos that's happening.
Well said.
How many fucking curse words can you put together to describe?
Ooh, is this a challenge?
Yes. We'll count. Who wants to go first?
Not me.
You don't want to go?
So wait, we're going to string them together like in a...
It doesn't have to be curse words. It can just be like any words used to describe Donald Trump. Strung together. In the style of, let's say, you know, the Scottish. The way that they love to like string together a good insult.
That's...
I wanted to ask. Maybe we could ruminate on it and save it for the end. I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you guys know, like... Because all I saw, well, I've seen a couple things about it recently, but, like, the one thing that I most remember is that press conference with What's-Her-Face, and she's talking to these three other sort of Democrats, and she's calling them idiots, and they just want TV time and all this kind of stuff.
The blonde chick?
Sarah Sanders. She's the press secretary.
Yeah, Sarah Sanders. She talks to a blonde chick, not... But did you see that?
I saw part of it where the guy was asking her, like,
how could you do this?
You have children. Yeah. How would you feel?
Oh, right.
Sort of thing.
I saw that. And she, my first reaction when I saw that was she looked rattled.
She wasn't
looking at the camera. Normally, she's like up there, she's puffed up,
she's
got her chin up, and she's just like, come on, bring it on.
Yeah. She's ready to lie.
She's ready. But she was like, her body language was beat down. And I thought, she's rattled, and if this doesn't send this woman crying into the corner, she has no soul and is going straight to hell. But I have a feeling she may be nearing the end of her rope with this bullshit.
Yeah, I think so too.
I hope she is.
It was funny, the next day I saw, like, for whatever reason on my work computer, like, when you pop up the internet browser, the first things that come up are just, like, news articles. And the Fox one said, Sarah Sanders triggers liberal with, by telling them you just want some TV time or you something insults them and they get rattled.
Yeah.
And then the,
so I
think it might've been CNN or some liberal, source was like, Sarah Sanders destroyed, but it was just like really, you know, violent sort of epic.
There was nothing in the middle. It was just two opposing football teams.
Yeah, just the two completely different perspectives on the same
thing.
All opinion.
But the question I wanted to ask was, like, She was saying, and I've heard this echoed by like a couple other, I guess, sources, that like the only reason that Trump and his administration are separating these people are because that was like, that's been a law to do something along those lines, and they're just the first ones to follow it, and Democrats, it's the Democrats' fault because they're not working together to change the law or something.
That's not true.
No.
Do you know what really is happening?
So what really happened was 1987, there was a law put in place to prevent trafficking of children. What's happened recently is that the Department of Justice under Sessions, I'm sure with orders coming from the top, put out a memo and had a press conference declaring zero tolerance for people entering the United States. Now, to come into the United States illegally, like sneak across the border, is a misdemeanor, which is technically illegal.
Right.
To come to a port of entry or a bridge or to an officer along the border and say that you are afraid to go back to your country and that you are seeking asylum is not illegal. It is legal, and they are supposed to allow you to come in to provide you safety until your hearing.
There is protocol for that.
There's a protocol to that.
And there, and the protocol does not include removing children from their parents. These people are housed in a detention center together, usually for about 3 to 4 months before their hearing is heard, before they go to court for their asylum.
Yeah. Now they're being separated. The children are being lost. I was going to say something.
So it's really about the no tolerance policy.
Yeah.
Because, and it just kills me that they keep blaming the Democrats. Like, why? This is suddenly happening because of the Democrats?
No, they control all three branches of government.
Right. This and it's Congress's fault, and it's the Democrats' fault. It's not your no tolerance policies.
Right.
So wait, the 1987 thing that was...
That was put in place to actually help children who were either coming by themselves unaccompanied or were being trafficked. So it was to protect children from being like sold into the sex slave trade or to a company that would use them for manual labor, things like that.
Right.
And people weren't being arrested for coming into the country. They might be deported with their children.
Mm-hmm.
They would be given refuge until their asylum hearing. But what's happening now is just complete and total terror.
Mm-hmm.
It's a form of violence that's happening right now, and it's directed.
So they're citing that what was it, a law that was enacted in 1987 or some sort?
97.
Oh, 97.
And it wasn't a law. They're saying it was a law. It's guidelines to follow to protect children from being trafficked.
Okay. And so they're sort of misciting that to...
Completely and totally.
Yeah.
And misciting is very generous of you.
What do you think that a motive would be to separate kids from their families?
So...
It's a scare tactic.
It's a scare tactic.
It's so that they'll stop coming.
It's terror.
Okay, so it's like cutting heads off.
Also,
right.
It's playing to their base. With racist fervor, they are going after little brown children. And he's using this as a bargaining chip to get his wall built.
Right.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I saw his...
Yeah.
That's the main deal with all of this, is they're trying to frighten people away from coming here in the first place. And Trump wants his wall. And if the Democrats are going to vote for his stupid wall budget, whatever the hell... He's just going to keep doing it.
I feel like this wall of his is almost like, you know, a pharaoh in ancient Egypt having to have a pyramid built to memorialize his reign.
The wall is a promise that he made to his base way back when. And his shtick is, I keep my promises, I'm going to do what I said. Which has not really happened.
That has never borne out.
So, and the wall is a notoriously bad idea. All history has proven that walls do not keep people out. They don't. It's not, you can't You cannot secure that wall. It's ridiculous. Right. It's a symbol. It's right. protecting the space again. It's about protecting the space, keeping some people out, and keeping other people in.
And just plain fucking racism.
And it's plain racism because, well, the Canadians don't want to come here. They're smarter than that. The Canadians are building a wall to keep us out. I'm like, oh, hell.
Oh, God. After that whole thing happened in Charlottesville, my idea, after I calmed down, another time when I would just burst into tears, I was driving to Target and just had to pull over on the side of the road to burst into tears. I thought, anyone who is found guilty of a hate crime, whatever, mm-hmm. should be forced to go live in a foreign country where they do not speak the language for 1 year and try to find work and keep themselves alive and not get killed.
With a chip in them.
So I like to this. I don't know. I personally like to play devil's advocate, as you know.
I know you do.
I like to interject with, yes. You know,
it's a good way to keep the conversation going.
Quite yeah, it's fun.
It's,
you know,
yeah, it's good. Important.
Yeah,
it's
and important. This is something I genuinely feel. So, let's see. There's been very few, as you know, I had that one sort of anonymous friend who was part of the
white nationalist movement.
He knew
yeah.
about Charlottesville like before it happened. He was
right.
just really part of it. I kind of stopped hanging out with him, but.
Why?
Part of the one of the points on which we agreed came to an agreement was about sort of the silliness at which things are determined to be hate speech nowadays, particularly
oh, yes.
like, in college campuses and that community, I guess.
Do you have an example?
That's a really interesting topic.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, I think that good examples are anything that citing facts about demographics is considered, I think, in many circles to be one of the main forms of hate speech and just gets conflated with eugenics. To say anything like black people score lower on national tests at large, SATs. And
well, you have to look at the reasons why, though.
Of course you do, but to say that statement is in many circles considered
hate
speech.
Hate,
yeah. And I think to say something like anyone who practices hate speech or is condemned of it should face such and such punishment, to me, like, it just really kind of alarms me because... Yeah, I think very minuscule.
I get what you're
sort of
saying, but my feeling behind it was more of like, I wish that someone, like the people who participated in Charlottesville and beat people up and that dude that shot at someone for no reason, like, I wish that they could have an experience that showed them the humanity of other mm-hmm. cultures. Like, of course I know that can never happen. We can't just send people around the world and drop them off and say, take care of yourself.
Saying.
I understand that, but...
I think that's
you're
a fitting
punishment.
You're
looking for justice.
Not even justice. Like, it's more like education.
Yeah.
Like, education of compassion. Like...
But, by those people being so intolerant, having so little compassion, others may learn it instead.
What do you mean?
Somebody's got to get thrown under the bus sometimes.
She's saying that the cycle needs to be cut off at the knees somewhere.
So
because all those white men carrying torches are going to teach their little boys those same ideas.
But all those white men carrying torches will also inspire compassion from masses who never would have had the experience before.
Agreed.
But those people with their torches, with their frightening tiki torches, they may never learn.
You're saying that my idea is hopeless?
I'm just saying that sometimes, I mean, there is a balance to everything. I think everything in nature finds a balance, and there cannot be yin without yang. There cannot be good without bad. There have to be opposing forces to create the tension for change. So just as our president and that administration is a fucking shit show clown circus fucking
there it is
nightmare.
That was six words. There it is.
So that people with a conscience in our country are going to be like, whoa, I was floating along. Everything was cool. I had a president I loved. He was a great guy. He was handsome. He's charismatic. He was doing stuff. He was cool. And now I got fucking Lord Cheeto of fucking the Hell Realms. No.
Lord Cheeto of the Hell Realms.
So it makes people stand up and say, no, this isn't okay. It makes people pull over the side of the road going to Target and crying.
It makes young people want to vote.
It makes young people want to vote. It makes a whole generation of young people stand up and pay attention and say, oh, fuck. We've been floating around on our little happy boat.
Right.
And this shit is not good, and this isn't going to happen. Okay. It has to happen somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It has to crack. And if this is the time of cracking, then we do need to, as you said, we do have to have hope, and we have to make the phone calls, and we have to stand up, and we have to be heard and say the things that we believe and stand up for them.
Right. And not be afraid.
And not be afraid.
My mom called me upset, crying about this issue, and said that she had called one of the phone numbers and left a message or couldn't get through, and called the number for the Homeland Security, the Kristen Nielsen person, the blonde lady, clone, evil. Anyway, she was about to dial the number and became very afraid.
Wow.
And I was like, what are you afraid of? She said, I was afraid I was going to get put on a list, or that they were going to know where I live, or they were going to come.
They already do.
And that's what I said. Mom, everybody already knows everything. Anyway, I was going to say, Quinn and I have had this conversation talking about this, like, racist hellfire that's been bubbling up lately, where I was explaining to him, like, back when we were maybe his age or a little bit younger, you know, just coming out of high school, we had this idealized version of what we thought had happened, and that we had lived through the civil rights movement, and
it was over.
There were equal rights, right. And yeah, we thought,
oh, we learned these things.
We learned these things and everything. So we were like neo hippies. We were barefoot all the time. We'd talk about love and peace and, you know, whatever. Mm. And I felt foolish about it afterwards. Like, now I feel a little foolish about it. And I also feel like that maybe helped propel more understanding.
Oh. I don't know. I think that kind of...
Like, we didn't know what we didn't know, but we were living like... Yeah, I don't know. Do you remember?
But we believed in it. That's the thing.
We believed in it. Yeah.
And we believed it was true. And we lived like it was.
Right.
And we had this beautiful ideal.
Right.
That was absolutely untrue. And of course, we live in California. We live in this beautiful blue bubble.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And things are different here. Things are way different here than they are in, you know, Tennessee and in New York.
Orange County.
And seriously, they're way different here than they are in the Bay Area.
Right.
And to have that experience and to believe those things isn't bad. It's good.
Right.
Because now we're talking about it, and we're saying, oh, wow, it's not like that. We thought it was, and we were stoked.
Sorry, I'm confused. I don't really remember this conversation, but are you saying that, like...
Well, I think Ella was basically saying, like, people who aren't aware of racism are contributing to it, and I was trying to explain, like, we didn't know any better, and we were living as though everyone was equal and there, you know.
Got it.
We were living in this dream world, but we were living those ideals.
So you do you still hold those ideals, even though you don't believe that it's true worldwide?
I hold hope that...
You do.
I do.
You do.
But I see now where I didn't know the things I didn't know. I see now where I had privilege that other people didn't have. I see now where there was systemic racism, you know, in regards to, like, the law, police departments, you know, school systems. I see it now. I didn't see it before. Right. It was hidden from me, and I thought it was different.
I guess what I'm trying to ask is, like, so you guys feel like you were deluded or living in some sort of dream state, almost, like,
it wasn't a dream state because it was our reality at
the
time.
And I think it's also a byproduct of that part of everybody's lives, everybody's development.
Idealized early 20s, yeah.
You fight for certain things, but just as you see the injustices, you have to believe, you have to see that there is something ideal and there is something perfect. And it changes throughout time. And I think that I think maybe it's just a byproduct of being human, because we have this idea right now that connection is important,
right?
And it is not okay to take children away from their parents, and that there is a kinder, gentler, more compassionate solution to a problem that we don't even think exists, but that we believe there's a better way.
So you're saying that's a product of us being in our 40s?
No, I'm wondering now, as I speak, that maybe it's just a product of being a human being.
Right.
That we want something ideal, desperately. We want to believe that the good in the world, the good that humanity is capable of, will win. And we want to be the winners.
Right.
Now, in our blue little bubble here in California, we have some very specific ideas of inclusion and what that looks like.
Right.
And what the right way is and what the good way is. Mm. Now, you go somewhere else with a bunch of people who have had very different experiences and have grown up in the same town and they've never left and they know the same people and it's the same street corner and the same, you know what I mean?
Right.
They're going to have a very different idea of what is good and right. And they are going to have a different space to defend.
Right. We were talking about defending space earlier.
And like they're going to have
tribalism, things like that.
Yeah,
they're going to have a different understanding or impression of outsiders.
Right.
Here, I mean, my Lord, we're in Southern California. How can you... Discrimination would be... It'd be so hard to practice discrimination.
Well, I mean, the LAPD does it just fine.
They do, but...
What were you going to say, Clint?
What you said was what I was about to bring up about, like, so you guys have ideals, and you guys have a vision of what could be perfect, and though you don't feel like it's true anymore, you see that it's there, and you maybe want to work towards that.
Yes.
but, like, other people have different ideas of what that is. In fact, like, there are many people who think that in order for the world to be harmonious, it has to be separated so that, you know, different races can, you know, live out their best potential amongst themselves and not
diversified.
Right.
It's two different schools of thought, but, like, what I was going to say was, like, oh, yeah, so it's weird. I've come in contact, well, this is a little bit of a diversion. It has to do with sort of like...
we call them rabbit holes on this show.
Rabbit hole.
A bit of a rabbit hole. It's slightly tied to what we were doing.
Go ahead.
It's about the Israeli-Palestine conflict.
Right.
Mm. There's a lot I've noticed as I've come more into contact with them and actually started talking to them about this. There's a lot of Jewish liberals who hold the stance that diversity is good here in the United States, but they would like to keep a homogenous Israel. And
well, that's actually the law in Israel. If you're not a practicing Jew, you're not supposed to be there, right? You can't get citizenship or something like that.
Right, and right. It's kind of an interesting, I guess it's Zionism. It's like,
right.
And it's just interesting how many liberals who aren't Jewish, who espouse the same sort of principles that we do,
right,
about equality and liberty and all that kind of stuff, who are also Zionists, you know?
Right.
It's become such a, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's sort of a realization that I'm coming to, and I'm not really sure why it's okay, you know? And I know it's a sort of complex history there,
yeah,
about who owns that land and all
right,
that kind
right.
of stuff.
It's
but
very,
I think the moral principle that it gets down to is, is it okay to just say that one person, that land belongs to one type of people and that no other people should be able to come there?
I mean, do we really want to get into this?
In threat of death.
Well, it depends on how far you want inclusion, not inclusion, but what's the word I'm looking for?
Menopause brain.
Yeah, there it is. God damn it.
I mean, I don't even believe that we should have borders. I think that humans should be free to just roam around and.
But what if there are humans that want? What if there's a group of humans that say we want to protect the space? This is ours.
I know. Again,
it's like
that's my idealized version of what the Earth would
be.
That's with ideal people, though. I think it, like sometimes you have to make borders to protect good ideas. You know, in my opinion, like.
So your question is Israel a good idea?
Well,
and in some ways, it is.
I think so. I think there's phenomenal people who live there.
And history has shown us that the Jewish culture needs to be protected, right? Going back to protecting your space, going back to protecting
right.
your culture. I get that, but that doesn't excuse basically war crimes.
Yeah.
At what cost?
Right. I think, again, it's human nature. I think we have to.
Well, I don't like it.
I know, it's ugly. It's ugly. But for every.
By the way, Quinn's eating goldfish.
We're not perfect people. We are damaged bags of meat roaming the earth. Every fucking one of us.
What if we're just really beautiful vessels of light interacting
with
each other?
We could be both of those things.
Okay.
We could be both of those things. That's the thing about people, is that the diversity is diverse. There's.
Did you write the dictionary?
Everybody has a whole different.
I need to write this down.
Life experience. Everybody has a whole different. When I was in Jerusalem, in the old city of Jerusalem.
Oh, that's right, you went.
So there are quarters, right? There's
right.
the Jewish quarter, the Christian quarter, the Muslim quarter, and the Armenian quarter.
Wow.
And you go, there are different gates.
Right.
And there's different food. And there's different culture in each one
quarter.
Of those quarters.
Right.
And I was there, I was 25.
Yeah,
26. And I was like, this is fucking awesome, man. Everybody's living here. We got the Jews and the Muslims and the Armenians and the Christians, and they're all in the city, and it's old and it's cool and everybody's happy and blah 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 blah. Total Pollyanna, idealized. This is a perfect little example of how the world should be. Everybody's got their own space. Everybody does their own things. They've got their own food. They've got their own rituals. They've got their own everything.
They're coexisting.
You know, you could move freely, except for the Dome of the Rock. The Muslims were like, you know what? You all got to stay away. Couldn't
right.
get up to the Wailing Wall, you know, if you're,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I was like seriously loving it, like thinking that it was awesome and perfect, and it was just this this blueprint for how the world should be.
Have your thoughts changed about it?
Well, while I was there, I was walking down the beautiful old cobblestone streets and smelling the falafel, seeing the things, happy as a clam. I turn a corner and go down an alley, and there's a coffin with bullet holes, riddled with bullet holes. I have a picture of it. I took a picture of it.
Oh, my God.
I developed a big print of it. And it was like, bam. It just hit me like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
These people are suffering. There is suffering here. There's violence here. This part of the world has been riddled with violence from the dawn of man.
Yeah.
From the beginning of the beginning. That's what happens there.
What do you have an idea on the root of that? Like, why do you think that is, that it's been riddled with suffering since the dawn of man? I don't know about the dawn of man, but
well,
certainly
the dawn
for
of
decades.
The dawn of religion.
Civilization and religion.
That's my thought.
Because it was a sweet spot. It was a fertile crescent. That area of the world was a beautiful, it was Eden. It was a perfect place to be.
And also,
and
those religions that you're talking about all rooted from the same idea, the same God. They're fighting over
interpretations
of the same religion.
Right.
Just like Americans do. American Protestants do that, you know, like Baptists, Southern Baptists, Pentecostal,
yeah,
whatever. They're all fighting over whose version of God
who's
is
right.
better.
Right.
And they're in their camps. And if you're in your camp and you're right, that means everybody else has got to be wrong.
So how does that match up with what God or what God is trying to teach them? Like,
God's trying to teach them to get their fucking heads together.
Well, they're not hearing him or her,
well, they don't,
or whatever they think
she is. Because they've got all different, because they put their own ideas on. I mean, if you look at the commandments, the golden rule,
the
for
golden
crap's
rule.
Sake. The Bible is a big fat book that has been reimagined and rewritten by rich people forever.
Uh-huh.
It's a money-making machine.
Yep.
Augustine.
And a control tool.
Yes, exactly. I mean,
we're getting into a big, gigantic rabbit hole.
Now we've gone all the
way
into...
We're in a dragon hole right now.
We're in a dragon hole. That poor bunny just got its ass whooped. And
I feel like we should
dragon.
Separate this into two...
Two podcasts.
Two podcasts. Probably. It's too much for one.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, what were you talking about before? Racism?
Well, we're talking... Our basic topic was connection.
And then it was
separation. We ended up in Jerusalem. And dragons.
Well, let's just take an optimistic note about connection. Like, what's good about it today? Have we made any progress?
Well, I think what we were talking about, like, even though we're living in a shit show dumpster fire, it's inspiring people to get involved,
right,
to talk to each other, to join political groups, to write to their congresspeople.
To pay attention.
Wake
up.
So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It is good. It's...
What about the internet?
It's imperative. The internet's evil. It's bad news.
It's evil. I think it's evil, and also it keeps me connected to a lot of family members,
mm-hmm,
that I normally wouldn't.
It does keep me connected to a lot of people that I wouldn't normally be connected to.
But it's not the kind of connection that prevents violence. It's not the kind of... I mean, I guess it could be. When I'm listening to you talk about Jerusalem and the quarters and I'm thinking to myself, a lack of connection causes violence in a person. And where is the lack of connection there? Because all those people have mothers. They all have fathers.
In Jerusalem?
All the people everywhere that take a strong stance against or for something. We all have mothers and fathers. We all are loved.
Broken bags of meat roaming the earth.
And in conclusion, the world is coming to an end.
Well, the trick
we have
is,
no hope.
The trick is to enjoy and revel in the differences that we all have, but find the connections and make that the strongest part. That we do all have mothers and fathers, that we don't want to, typically, most people do not want to go around hurting other human beings.
Right.
But you know what? If I'm a vegetarian and I don't eat meat, I'm not going to go get in a meat eater's face
right.
and tell them what they're doing is wrong.
Right.
I don't care. That is your body. It's your, what you're doing. Fine. Do it. I'm not going to put that dividing line between us. Why? You know what I mean? It's the same thing with Democrats and Republicans.
Right.
Okay, fine. You worship the Lord Cheeto freak man.
That was only three.
Fine. I'm sorry.
Wait, that was four, actually. Lord Cheeto.
Freak man.
Freak man. Have you thought about stringing together any insults?
No.
But I feel like it just needs to come out naturally.
I talked to a conservative fellow over the weekend, and he was a little drunk and he was smoking pot at the same time. So what he said was not necessarily very reliable,
right.
but it was a very interesting, and he thought I was hitting on him too, because I wanted to hear what he was going to say, because he was talking about the, you know, the liberals and all this other stuff.
Right.
And so I'm like, bring it on, dude. I'm a liberal. Tell me.
Right.
What do you hate about me? And he was like, I'm married. I'm like, I am too. I don't care. Drunk guy. Anyway.
What did he say?
He said, I said,
you know, it's not like this.
We both agreed that the media is a shit show right now.
Right.
We both agreed there's a lot of fake news out there. Now, my idea of fake news and his,
right,
totally different. Mm-hmm. But we agreed on that fact. And I would go out on a limb and say that it's true. There is a lot of fake news. There's a lot of fake information.
One good thing about the Trump presidency, it illuminated a lot of people on that fact.
The fake news?
But I think it's been taken to a place where now anyone who supports him can just say
anything against
anything is fake news if it doesn't agree with their point of view.
Yeah.
Well, because that's what the president does.
Right. And I that scares me. That's dangerous.
That is dangerous. Because that's not thinking for yourself. That's not making your own decisions. Mm-hmm. You're letting another person or party make decisions for you. And I think that that's also a big problem, and humans are very prone to that.
Right.
It's just buying into something because it's too hard to think about it. It's too hard to
read
about
it. It's the path of least resistance.
It's too hard. You know, I want to be part of something. I want to be connected to something. I'm going over there because that looks
like that's close enough.
That's close enough.
Right.
Because I don't have time to think about that other stuff.
Right.
So one of the other things that he did say is, I said, well, what is it that you don't like about the liberals? And he couldn't really put his finger on it. Couldn't put his finger on much. he couldn't really say much about it. But what he did say, and again, this was under the influence of a couple different substances. I said, well, what do Republicans stand for? And he said, Republicans stand for the opposite of whatever the liberals are fighting for.
Wow.
Is that fucking crazy? And that's when I was like, bring it on. Tell me more. And that's when he told me he was married and he thought I was hitting on him. But I was like, no, dude, I want
Where
you to
this?
Explain this to me. It was at a party over the weekend.
Oh.
You party animal.
But he couldn't elaborate. He had to go to the bathroom.
So it is a football game.
It's a football game.
Your team versus my team.
And I think for a lot of people, it's entertainment. You know, there are some folks out there that buy into drama. Like, that is their hobby.
Right.
I know a couple people like that. That is their fucking hobby. They're sitting there bored. They're like, what kind of shit can I stir up either on Facebook or in the neighborhood or with my dog or with the fucking beehive next door? Whatever.
Right.
you know, I want to stir some shit up. I want to see some stuff happen. What kind of sick motherfucker?
I know some people like that.
Lord Cheeto piece of crap.
Here. I feel like you're just on the edge of like seven insults in a row.
Yeah, I gotta think of some more adjectives and nouns.
Like agent fucking orange pillow headed
monkey fucker.
Full of shit bag orange. I can't even. I'm so mad at him.
You were close, but then he said orange twice.
I said orange twice. I realized I did it.
You know, he's kind of toned down the orange thing. But he does have the tanning bed glasses eyes thing going on still.
You know what else he has? Evil. Evil.
He's got the evil. Oh, God. Poor Melania. I feel so bad for her.
I feel so bad for her.
She is trapped. She is trapped. That poor woman. And she can't leave.
No,
you know,
she can't
leave. Like, you try to leave me, woman, and I will destroy you.
Right.
And he will. He'll find a way to destroy her. All he has to do is get his minions up against her.
Oh, yeah.
You imagine that poor woman? She's like...
Yeah, she's stuck there at least until...
Somebody's got to set her free.
Do you guys think that having the opposing forces of liberals and Republicans going at it all the time is good? Do you think it is helpful?
I feel like when we were younger, the parties weren't so different from each other.
No.
They would actually agree on a lot. Like, they agreed that immigrants should be treated with dignity and should be offered refuge if they needed it. You know?
And the parties have kind of switched as far as social issues go.
Yeah.
I mean...
And the Republicans were always about, like, small government and...
Fiscally conservative.
Fiscal conservatism.
That's where conservatism comes from, is being tight with your money.
And now conservative means, like... You're a religious zealot, racist asshole, or something.
Does it?
I mean, the way that it is right this moment in history, yes. When we were younger, it meant something different than it does now.
Well, and I think that we're breaking into three parties. I think the dyed-in-the-wool Republican conservatives are dying out. They're
dying out.
They're disappearing, and we've got these Trumpites. These MAGAs.
Right.
The MAGAs are taking over, and they're drama-loving nut jobs who read fake news, and I have nothing nice to say about them.
I feel like their true, like, inclusive. Their true leader is Rush Limbaugh. Like, he created this.
God. Oh, my God. Well, the whole...
All right.
There is a lot of power to be found in ostracizing other people. There's a lot of strength people find a lot of power and strength in ostracizing others and practicing racism and being divisive.
Right.
Because it makes them right and it makes them better.
And they have a common enemy.
If you keep preaching equality, so you think about the forgotten white people in the middle of the country. You've got this group of forgotten white people who are struggling. They're working in coal. They're not as educated as they could be. They've been stuck in the same small town
forever.
They're isolated. The economic situation where they live is in the toilet. You know, they're struggling. And you've got the rest of the country preaching inclusion and equality and all this other stuff. Mm. And they're like, well, what about me? But also, it puts the responsibility on them. If everybody is equal, if everybody has the same opportunities, then... What have they done wrong?
Their privileges
is
fading.
They have to own it.
Right.
But that's hard. Nobody wants to own it. Nobody wants to say, I should have gotten my ass out of this two-bit town when I graduated high school. I should have gone to college. I should have filled out the paperwork. I should have gotten the scholarships. I could have done this. I could have done that. that hurts and it's hard.
Right.
It's so much easier to say, my government has failed me. The libtards have forgotten about me.
The immigrants are coming to take my job.
The immigrants are coming to take my job. The gay people are destroying our youth. I mean, you deflect it. It's, what's the psychological term for that? Is displacement.
Right.
So you displace that ownership and you put it on someone else.
It sounds like...
and then you become the victim. And then you're angry. And then there's a bunch of angry victims around. And then they get a bunch of fucking tiki torches.
And on that note...
Sorry.
That's okay.
one thing that, like... I don't know. My... Like, with conversations like these and just, like, with thinking about social issues or talking about them in general, the one thing that I'm really going for is trying to see the other side, getting out of an echo chamber,
right.
Just trying to make progress in some way. And, like I definitely agree with what you were saying, and I think that there is some, like... Like, I don't know if you guys keep up with, like, BuzzFeed, or if you know about BuzzFeed, the news source.
News source.
Yeah, news source. Well, they just have the worst, in my opinion, just cringiest, like, horrible videos, which are, I guess, now representative of the left and progressive ideals.
Like what?
Like, well, they take equality and feminism and turn them into something really sort of reprehensible, in my opinion. Like, like, I don't know. There's just a lot of videos. The only one that's coming to mind, and this one has sort of a place in being a real idea, but, like, they're videos about mansplaining. You guys know about
that?
Oh,
yes. Okay. About I know where term. You're going with this.
Yeah. There's just, like, I agree, white men shouldn't consider themselves
experts,
victims necessarily, especially to the same degree that many black people are actually victims of some horrible stuff. But there are some really dangerous social ideas, in my opinion, that are like nipping at the free speech of white men, actually.
Hmm.
Like saying that they... shouldn't, that they don't have a space, they don't have a place in these kinds of conversations.
Well, I think that's a reactionary position based on the fact that women have felt like they didn't have a place throughout history until now.
The pendulum
is swung the other
exactly
direction.
That's exactly what it seemed like, and reactionary responses like that, I think, are bad generally, right?
Well, I mean, we're going to come to a place where it's balanced out, but for now, women are going, hey, I have a brain myself. I know how these things work. You don't need to condescendingly... Wait, how do you say that?
Condensation.
Condensationally.
Perspirationally.
You don't need to perspirationally... Thanks for mansplaining that, Quinn.
You need to get your ice cubes out of my vessel.
I feel like women are just now coming to a place where we can say, hey, wait a minute, I have space too.
Yeah, it's been like centuries of just horrible oppression against women in most places, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. All over the world.
And it's only very recently.
Except for Atlantis.
Atlantis? Is that the bottom of the flat ocean on the flat earth?
But the problem with that is it... When the feminists go after the white males, it causes more conflict and there's more pushback.
Yeah, and I think the whole Charlottesville alt-right rise was in response to that. Like, BuzzFeed hyper-liberalism and progressive sort of, like, stuff.
I don't agree with that. I think you can choose to turn... That would be like saying, I got more liberal from reading Breitbart. I don't read Breitbart because I think it's ridiculous.
But it will make you more liberal.
Anytime I watch, like, most Fox News or, like, you know, Alex Jones or even Sean Hannity, like, I disagree so much with just their tone and what they're saying usually, and it makes me more liberal.
But you can choose to turn that off.
Yeah, I know. I try not to be reactionary. I try not
to. I'm saying everyone has the power to turn whatever media off that they...
Maybe. Oh. Except for the drama queens in the world. There are people out there who can't do that, Cass. They cannot.
Well, that's their problem.
I know.
And that's not our responsibility.
But it's also society's problem.
Ah, fuck it.
But, so, I mean... It should be everyone's responsibility. It should be everybody's responsibility to responsibly consume information.
Yeah.
Right.
As you consume anything else in your life. So Quinn knows I'm watching these two news sources. They're going to be at odds. I have to figure out where the middle ground is and where the truth is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's some blaming people who are like, BuzzFeed for what happened in Charlottesville, I think, is a huge reach. And I don't think...
But it stokes the fire. It stokes the fire. It does. For the people who...
And blaming the state of BuzzFeed and sort of like hyper-liberalism and stuff. You know which kind I'm talking about. Hyper-feminism, I guess third wave feminism. Blaming that on thousands of years of oppression against women isn't as much of a reach, but it's still reactionary. You know what I mean? Like it's still shifting the blame away from the people in the minds who do and say those things. You know what I mean?
Oh, Ziggy does not agree with
I think that's appropriate, but it's not. It's still. I guess it's not really getting at the root of who's doing it. You know right. what I mean?
I mean, we could go around about this for a really long time.
It goes
time.
Around.
Yeah. It goes like around and around.
It's inflammatory, and it gets people riled up. And the people who get riled up then get tiki torches. I can't let go of the tiki torches.
Most people have the loudest voice. People who get riled.
Right.
They seem to.
But that's what changes things too. You can't just be a pacifist. You can't be like, you know, think of women's suffrage. I'd like to vote, please.
Right.
I'd like to vote, please. Hi, I'd like to vote. I can read. I'd like to vote. That's not going to work. You have to get pissed.
Right.
You have to get signatures. You have to go out on the streets. You have to make a ruckus. You have to affect your environment. You have to affect other people to get that attention made. That's what's happening right now in our country. People are getting pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it will inspire change. But to do it on purpose, to poke the beast on purpose is not, it's not productive. It's not...
It's productive in a way.
But how it's executed... Do you know what I mean? Those kids, oh my God, school shooting. Oh my God, help me.
Parkland,
thank you. Those kids made a stink, and they were serious, and they were pissed.
Yeah.
And they should have been.
Right.
They didn't go to BuzzFeed and say, "Hey, I want to make a cheeky video and put it on your website."
No.
They said, "No, we're fucking serious, bitches. I want to talk to BBC. I want to talk to, you know, reliable
right.
news sources. And
right.
I have real words to say, and I have real anger and pain that I want to share with you people."
Right.
Not some, you know, nut job going off in a McDonald's about God only knows what that's clickbait.
Yeah.
There's no substance to that.
No.
There are nut jobs all over the place all the time that you can take video of and put on news sources. Fox News does it all the time.
Right.
You know, children are being locked up in cages. Let's talk about the woman who got eaten by the alligator. Right?
Yeah,
I
sort of disagree with you about one point. Well, it's not even really a disagreement, but like the idea that like the loudest voices and being pissed about stuff is what affects change, or having a real sort of emotionally charged way of going about it is what affects change. I think it does, but I still don't think that it's the best way to do it. Like, I think it would be like we were talking about the state of our media. Like, imagine if the most consumed form of media was something so boring like C-SPAN or something that was just so neutral and gave the truth to everybody, and people weren't seeking entertainment or a place to belong or any of that, you know. They were just trying to find out the truth of what was going on.
And how many people wouldn't seek that out because it's boring?
Because it's what?
Boring.
Most people, I think.
Right. So it would all just go under the radar.
Right. So, like, but I still don't think, I don't think that that makes it good to be a part of that system, a part of that, like, fighting for attention with really exclamatory, extreme views, you know, or ways of going about stuff. Like, I don't know. I think it's hard to give an alternative, but essentially I just think the system should be changed. We should work on changing the culture of that sort of a thing, if that makes sense.
Of journalism? Of,
yeah.
Of making change happen. I mean, civil disobedience.
Yeah.
There's a peaceful alternative.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You just say, oh, I'm not participating in that anymore, and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout history, those the people who have practiced civil disobedience have made change happen. Gandhi, Rosa Parks,
MLK, John Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, there's a list, and it is the peaceful way to go. It's like, no, I'm not going to do it.
And all of those people were vilified in their time, and they're all heroes to us now.
Mm-hmm. At least to most of us.
You guys have been going for a little over 2 hours, I think.
Oh my gosh!
Shit, turn it off. Or should we sing Curio?
Follow us on all of your social media doodads at Curio Podcast.
I feel like we could...
Yeah, because listening to 2 hours of...
Yeah, it'll get really...
Well, we could just pare it down to the best bits.